streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Monday, April 27th, 2020. I am Dave Biddle. I am joined by Patrick Murphy using our new setup here for the Bucknuts Morning Five. Hopefully this will be a little easier for you guys. Hopefully the sound quality will be better. And we're actually having a show today, unlike we did on Friday and unlike we did on Sunday. So that's good. Hey, Patrick, let's just get into the NFL draft from the Ohio State perspective. Let's start off with maybe your biggest surprise. What surprised you the most from Ohio State standpoint?
Well, first of all, I just think it was great to have something that felt like live sports this weekend. I know you've been big on the Jordan documentaries, as have I, but this was actually live. We didn't know what was going to happen, whereas the Jordan documentaries, obviously, we've all witnessed that. So this was just, it was great. It felt the most normal in terms of a sports thing this weekend that we've had in a while, but. As for the draft itself, I think like most people, KJ Hill would be the biggest surprise for me. The fact that he dropped to the LA Chargers, and I looked at a lot of mock drafts in the build up to this, and most of them had him going anywhere in the mid rounds, from late on the second day on Friday to early on Saturday. But I definitely did not expect him to drop as far as he did. The seventh round just seemed entirely out of the question. This is Ohio State's all-time leading pass catcher, a guy who consistently showed he can run great routes. As Ryan Day said to us yesterday, he gets open and he catches passes, and that's what you want in the NFL, right? So that was a surprise to me. I do think he ended up in a pretty good spot with the Chargers. They've got a number of weapons. Obviously, they're rebuilding at quarterback after losing Phillip Rivers, but this is a good spot. He won't have to step in right away necessarily. He can learn. I think his speed hurt him a little bit, well, more than a little bit, but I think he'll prove to be a solid NFL wide receiver, just like he did at Ohio State. Other than that, I was a little surprised that J.K. Dobbins dropped some, though I think he ended up in a really good situation. Jordan Fuller went a little earlier than I expected to my Los Angeles Rams, so I'm excited he'll be out there. But those are probably the three that I was kind of like, oh, interesting when they happened.
Let's just start at the top now. We'll start with Joe Burrow. He played 3 years at Ohio State, at least at Ohio State for 3 years. How do you think he'll do in the NFL?
Yeah, I think Joe's a real solid pick. Obviously number one overall, the Heisman Trophy winner, had a record-setting year last season. And now we'll get to try and continue his development in Cincinnati. This is an organization, as I know you know, very well, that's really trying to do things differently. They've spent a lot more money this offseason than they have in the past. I think they see the way other NFL teams have handled things, especially around a young quarterback, and are trying to do things similarly. So I think Joe's really talented. And I think maybe in other years, if he had come out next year, maybe he's not the first overall quarterback. But he did put together a great season at LSU last year, obviously winning the national championship and the Heisman Trophy. And he did have a lot of weapons, let's be fair. But I think, the Bengals have built up, some weapons around him. And I think, he's going to have the opportunity. I think the expectations need to be set, not at the highest of heights. This is a rebuilding project, and he is a young quarterback. But I do think, he has all the tools to be a solid NFL quarterback, if not more than that. I know there were questions about hand size and things like that, but when you do what he was able to do last year at LSU, I think you've kind of stepped past that already. And I think he's going to be good. Is he going to be an all-time great NFL Hall of Famer? I think that's up to him. I think that's up to how the Bengals build around him, but they certainly have the potential. I think for sure he was the number one player to take in the draft. With the way the NFL is so quarterback driven.
And Chase Young, I love seeing him go to the Washington Redskins, a.k.a. the Washington Buckeyes. We have the New Orleans Buckeyes and the Washington Buckeyes now. You know, Washington's been downtrodden for so long, maybe with the new coach and everything they have going on there, maybe they'll turn things around. But I love that they, you know, because there was some talk maybe that it was a smokescreen and they were going to take Tua or they were going to take somebody else, and they weren't really sold on Dwayne Haskins. I thought they kind of tipped their hand, Patrick, when they traded a fifth-round pick for Kyle Allen. That told me that Dwayne was the starter. They wanted to have someone to give him competition. Ron Rivera was in Carolina with Kyle Allen. But I'm glad that they just stuck there. They feel like Dwayne Haskins is going to be their guy. And, again, they have somebody giving him competition with Kyle Allen, but they got Chase Young. I think, you know, I love Joe Burrow, but Chase Young, all the analysts have him as the highest-graded player in the draft. So it was really cool to see him go to the Washington Redskins.
I don't know how you couldn't evaluate Chase as the number one guy. I mean, this is a guy who 16 and a half sacks, and he missed two games. I mean, let's be real about that. Not only did that take him off the field, but it derailed a lot of his momentum. You know, you're coming off that Wisconsin game, a huge game, and then you have to sit out for 2 weeks. So he came back and performed well, but it wasn't the same. Teams had more time to scheme for him too. You know, imagine what his numbers would have been if he would have played against the likes of Rutgers. I mean, it would have been even more out of this world. So to me, yes, definitely the number one player in the draft. Now I understand, like I said, why the Bengals went quarterback, but the Redskins, I think, need to give Dwayne a chance. And I was hopeful that he would get it because you don't want to see him bounce around now after just 1 year. And I thought he looked better at the end of last season. Now you have a guy on the other side of the ball in Chase who, like Nick Bosa last year, like Joey Bosa's done, a number of other Ohio State defensive ends, can come in, play right away. You know, defensive end doesn't require a ton of scheming that'll be new to him at the NFL level. He's been coached by Larry Johnson. He'll be able to step right in. And I think he's going to be, you know, right there with the Bosa brothers that I mentioned and some of those other guys. You know, I think he's a talent that you don't get all the time. So the Redskins, unless they got an offer that was going to blow them out of the water and set them up for the next few drafts, I think you had to take Chase Young there. It makes a lot of sense to me, and I think it'll turn out to be a great pick for that organization.
All the mock drafts for months had Jeff Okuda going third to the Lions, and then leading up to the draft, there was some talk there could be some teams trading up for a quarterback, and I saw even one mock draft a couple days before the draft that had Okuda falling to ninth, and they even said, like, that would just be the steal of the draft. But I'm glad that everything worked out for Okuda, and he was the third pick of the draft to the Detroit Lions, and the Lions stocking up on some Buckeyes. I already have Taylor Decker there. They got Jonah Jackson in the third round. They have Jeff Okuda now. I love that for Jeff Okuda, the number one corner, the number one defensive back in this draft, and DBU BIA just rolls on, Patrick.
That was the one I wasn't sure about going into the draft, just because, like you said, there had been such buzz about potential moves. But, you know, I think when the dust settled, and Jeff Okuda was probably the worthy of that pick, what he was able to accomplish at Ohio State, you know, in three seasons, and even as a freshman, his willingness as the number one player in the country to play a lot of special teams. He stayed on special teams for most of his career at Ohio State. I think that's something that teams look at and value. And, you know, obviously what he was able to do as a lockdown corner, especially last season on the number one defense in the country. Everything that's been said about Jeff, everything that needs to be said about Jeff Okuda has already been said. He's the next in that line of Ohio State corners. So, I think this is a Lions team that probably had a number of needs, but improving that secondary was definitely one of them. And, when they had Matt Stafford on the field last year, their offense was actually pretty good statistically, but getting that defense right will certainly help. They focused on that a little bit, and Jeff Okuda, I think, can kind of be the guy that leads them forward as a defensive player going forward here. He's going to work hard, great attitude, great kid. We know that from covering him the last 3 years. I'm excited to see what he does in Detroit.
Damon Arnett, I was surprised, very surprised. I know, Ryan Day, we had a conference call with him yesterday. The media did. Ryan Day was not surprised. You know, Kerry Combs wasn't surprised. They've been talking him up for a long time. Jeff Okuda wasn't surprised. I was surprised. Were you surprised that Damon Arnett went in the first round of the Raiders?
I was, and that was not one I brought up earlier because I figured we'd talk about it. And also, there was a little part of me that thought maybe he sneaks into the late first round just because of, like you mentioned, those guys that we'd talked to recently, there just started to be some buzz about Damon Arnette. Now, I didn't think he would go 19 overall. I wasn't expecting him to go to the Raiders. But the Raiders have proven that they're going to do what they're going to do. They're going to pick the guys that they think. They took Henry Ruggs. A lot of people had him as the third wide receiver. He was the first wide receiver off the board earlier in the first round. So, you know, they believe, Mike Mayock said, that Damon Arnette fits what they want in a cornerback. And I think that makes a lot of sense. So looking at it from that perspective, I get why they did it. Could they have waited? They didn't have a second round pick, so they would have had to trade back into the second round if they wanted to get Damon Arnette. But, you know, a great story for a kid who, you know, even 2 years ago, probably didn't have it all figured out. Had to be told by Chris Carter, the story's been told a bunch, that he wasn't ready, had to come back for a senior year. And I think the change in focus, change in approach, both on and off the field for Damon Arnette, you know, graduated from Ohio State, was very important in terms of not only his on-field ability and showing that he could put it all together, but his maturity that you know he can go to an NFL team and be able to handle his business the way he's supposed to. Are there still holes in his game? A little bit. I think he still, you know, grabs a little too much and things like that. And that'll continue to be worked out now that he's going to be in Vegas. But, I think it goes to show, and Ryan Day talked about this when we talked to him yesterday, the value for some people of coming back for that last year. You know, not everybody's ready to leave early, even if you are a multi-year starter at Ohio State like Damon was. So it's, you know, some people are. Jeff Okuda, Chase Young, great examples, ready to go to the NFL. But that year certainly helped Damon Arnette, a guy who, had he come out last year like he was thinking about, maybe doesn't even get drafted. I think probably does, but could have been a late round pick. But now he's a first round pick, and he's set himself up probably for life and for a successful career.
The biggest surprise to me was KJ Hill falling to the seventh round, as you mentioned. And Ryan Day, when he was asked, you know, what maybe surprised you the most, he said KJ Hill falling to the seventh round. And he said, I just don't get it. The second biggest surprise, though, to me – well, no, the third biggest. Second biggest was definitely Damon Arnette going in the first round. In fact, that could be – that's almost a toss-up to me. Damon Arnette first round, KJ Hill seventh. That's almost a toss-up. In third place is J.K. Dobbins slipping to near the end of the second round. I think it's a great landing spot for him, though. As a Bengal fan, I hate it that the Baltimore Ravens draft so well. It's very annoying, but what a great spot for J.K. Dobbins. And really, when you're watching the draft and somebody goes early in the second round and you're waiting to the end of the second round, it feels like forever. 3 years from now, we're just going to remember J.K. Dobbins was a second-round pick. But he waited all the way until the 55th overall pick. Again, I think it's a great landing spot for him as far as the fit with the Ravens, probably taking over for Mark Ingram either this year or next year. And he's going to play a lot as a rookie regardless. But that was a surprise, him falling as far as he did. What did you think about that?
Definitely a surprise. And not only that he fell as far as he did, but he was the fifth running back, I believe, taken. And, you know, I mean, we were texting during the draft, you and I, and, you know, okay, well, he's probably going to go here, and then he doesn't go here. And, you know, this team needs a running back, and they take a different running back. And, I mean, even, you know, I'm a Rams fan. I thought they might take him in the second round, and instead they went Cam Akers out of Florida State, which was surprising to me. So, obviously teams, you know, viewed running backs differently. I think had there been pro days and JK was able to interview places, I know he did talk with Miami, he probably would have gone a little bit earlier. And I think there's a number of guys we can point to and say, hey, they were probably hurt by not having a normal build up to the draft this year. But, you know, like you said, I think he lands in a really good spot. This is a team that led the NFL in rushing last year, set a single season rushing record. They're going to run the ball a lot. I think they were number two in rush, maybe one or two in rush attempts last year. Obviously, a lot of that has to do with Lamar Jackson and his running ability at quarterback. But, you know, they had three running backs, I think, or two running backs and Lamar Jackson in the top 30 in rushing yards in 2019. Obviously, best record in the league last year and you know, came up a little short in the playoffs, but JK's going to get his opportunity. And I think that's what he realized. I listened to his conference call with their local media, and he sounds excited. Baltimore was not a team that it sounds like really talked to him much during the buildup to the draft. So even he was surprised. And he did admit that he felt he was going to go a little bit earlier, but we know what kind of running back he is. And I think now the Ravens are in a good position. You know, you got Mark Ingram, you've got a young guy in JK Dobbins. and you're going to run this offense that's very run heavy. So these guys are going to get a lot of different carries. And when, you know, Mark Ingram, a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, whenever it is that they decide to move on, you've got J.K. Dobbins waiting there. So I think it's a good situation for him. I know he just came out of sharing snaps with Mike Weber 2 years ago. And you know, he talked last year about how he was ready to be the guy. But I think in the NFL level, this will be a good situation for him to adjust to it, continue to work on his game, because I think there are some things like pass protection that he can get better at. But I don't know if you're going to fall in the draft, if it could have worked out any better for J.K. Dobbins, given what the Ravens do running the ball.
Last thing here, a total of 10 Buckeyes were selected. What's really cool is 7 of them were selected in rounds 1, 2, or 3. They had 3 guys go in the third round, Malik Harrison, Davon Hamilton, and the aforementioned Jonah Jackson. Just what stands out to you about the third rounders that the Buckeyes had?
Jonah Jackson, I really liked coming into this draft. I thought he might jump up to the second round even. You know, obviously the transfer from Rutgers, but he was just very good for Ohio State a year ago. Playing that guard position. He can also play center, you know, give a team versatility, and that team will be the Lions. So I like that. Malik Harrison, another Buckeye going to the Ravens. Just a solid pickup for them. You mentioned their drafting ability. I think he'll be very good. And Davon Hamilton in Jacksonville, I'm not a big believer in the Jaguars. They've continuously struggled to put it all together. Even, you know, a couple years ago when they made the deep run, they weren't able to build on that. But, you know, Davon Hamilton's a guy who continued to get better throughout his Ohio State career, and, you know, turned himself into a third round pick. So he's a guy who, you know, is going to put in the work. They needed help on that defensive line. They need help on a lot of places. So he'll certainly step in there to help with them. But I think those are solid third round picks for each of those teams. And you know, I think all in all, for the most part, these Buckeyes landed in good spots. Even some of the guys that were undrafted free agents, I think, found good homes given, you know, the situation. So all in all, I think it's a good draft. Once again, Ohio State represents well at the NFL draft. Certainly not going to slow down their recruiting, I don't think, anytime soon.
That is right. Great stuff from Patrick Murphy. Really appreciate it, Patrick. And thank you to all the listeners out there for tuning into the show. I appreciate that as well. I hope everyone has a great day. Let's hear that Buckeye swag, best damn band in the land.
Baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.